From KPFK Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this program on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica Radio stations and affiliates nationwide. The United Auto Workers this weekend announced a massive strike aimed at General Motors. 50,000 auto workers have walked off their jobs at GM factories in a number of states, saying they want the company to spend some of its massive profits on wage increases and benefits. UAW says on its website that workers want fair wages, affordable health care, our share of profits, job security, and a defined path to permanent seniority for temps. The strike began on Sunday night at 11:59 p.m. Here is labor reporter Mike Elk speaking with the workers on the verge of strike.
We don't talk about it at work. So at work, we're not allowed to talk about it. There was rumors going around nationally. In Rochester, we kind of feel like we're the forgotten about plant. So we kind of didn't think this was coming around. So this was not going to happen this week. So it was a surprise. So excited is not the right term I would use. It's necessary. We I don't know if you're familiar, but we're on a different pay scale. We're a parts supplier. We get paid $6 less an hour than regular GM employees already. That was from the last contract that happened 4 years ago. First day of a strike is that we have a job and then we don't lose what we have. As far as pay, as far as benefits, as far as retirement, that's it. Pretty much you want to keep what we have and get a raise in that. You want to move forward. It's not a, you're not reaching for something beyond what you have. That's not it at all. So I think that's where some of the confusion comes in, is that we've asked for something drastic. It's no, something's been asked to take away from us that you're used to, that you're counting on for your kids, for your house. And that's where it's become where it's too much. We can't do that.
And that is a United Auto Worker member who has just gone on strike with GM, speaking with my guest, Mike Elk, senior labor reporter for paydayreport.com. Mike now joins us from the road where he's been covering the strike. Welcome to the program.
Great to be on the show. Sorry, I'm at a rest stop on our way to Ohio to check out some more striking workers at General Motors.
Well, we know what the life of a labor reporter is like. So tell me a little bit, and we'll be playing some of your video interviews and reports for Payday Report during this conversation. But tell me first, if you can give me a brief understanding of why it is that workers are striking. They're claiming that GM has record profits and is not sharing that profit with its workers.
Yeah, well, I mean, GM has record profits. This is after GM got a huge $50 billion bailout from the federal government and demanded concessions, including health care and wage cuts, taking away pensions from workers. And now, you know, workers are saying now that the company is profitable, they want a bigger piece of the pie. They want back what they lost when GM wasn't profitable. So workers are very, very upset. 49,000 workers across the U.S. at GM plants across the U.S. are on strike right now. It's a big story.
Right. So, of course, auto workers have been a very, very important part of President Trump's populist rhetoric in, you know, claiming that he's for workers. But what has the sentiment among workers that you've spoken with been like regarding the federal government right now?
Well, I mean, you know, there's a lot of disappointment with Trump. A lot of the workers I'm speaking to. A lot of disappointment that Trump, hasn't done enough to stop outsourcing, particularly with the Lordstown plant closing. And that, you know, Trump even now today is trying to signal that, oh yeah, I'm involved in negotiations helping GM and UAW, and I'm kind of on the UAW side, more or less. And it turned out that both the UAW and the GM are disputing that the Trump administration is involved at all in talks. So it's just, you know, they're posturing. Obviously, President Trump is mindful of getting on the wrong side of the union here, since so much of his base is in the Rust Belt, where the UAW is still very popular in a lot of these states.
So let's actually watch one of your reports where you spoke with a striking worker about President Trump.
The funny thing with him is he just met with Mary Barra, the CEO of General Motors, and
we don't know what they say to each other behind closed doors, because Trump is no friend of labor, right? He screwed over even the businessmen that he's ever had any dealings with. So, you know, I have no idea what they talk about behind closed doors, but when they come out, he probably tells Mary, look, I'm going to say some nasty things about you, but, you know, you're doing the right stuff, Mary. Then he'll come out and he'll say, open up Lordstown, Ohio, right? He'll say, you know the way he talks.
Yeah.
Right, you're making a wrong move. Right? You have your head in a dark, unsanitary place. Reopen Lordstown. And he says that to get votes in Ohio, obviously. It's an important state for him in 2020. I have no idea. Mary Barra's made some kind of gesture to get an electric truck built there where they used to have 4,000 workers. Now they might have 300.
Yeah.
You know, it's really... So Trump, he's a Barnum and Bailey. He's a showman, and I don't see any real substance there.
And that is a striking worker speaking with my guest, Mike Elk, about President Trump and his meetings, supposed meetings with union leaders. So tell me about the scenes that started of workers going on strikes at 11:59 p.m. on Sunday night. As you said, this strike impacts nearly 50,000 workers. You were out on one picket line as workers started streaming. What was the sentiment and the feeling like?
Well, it was electric. There's no other word to describe it. The only thing in my career I've seen quite like it was the first day of the West Virginia teacher strike. There was a feeling that people had a new sense of power. People had never done something like this before. People where I was at in Rochester, New York, that's a parts plant, you know, they're making $6 an hour less than the other workers at GM. And so they're pretty upset. There's a lot of injuries at the place they work at. And, you know, they decided, you know, we're going to walk out. This is a plant that's been downsized. And people were just, you know, the feeling was electric. And we were out on the picket line yesterday. The feeling was electric again.
And that's yesterday, meaning on Monday. So, in fact, here's a scene of workers streaming out on strike captured by my guest, Mike Elk.
This is Mike Elk. We're live at the scene here in Rochester where workers were on strike at the UAW here. We're seeing a mass of workers come out. This is an unprecedented strike. It's the largest in more than a decade. Why do you support it?
Because we come to work every day, we work hard, and we deserve better than what we get.
How long have you worked here?
I'm going on 7 years.
All right, well, thank you. And do you like working here?
Absolutely, I love it. I love what I do. I think it's a good company. I've always wanted to work here. I'm third generation in the company, and I think it's for a good cause, standing our ground.
What's the excitement? You seem pretty jittered up.
I am, because it's just like I wasn't ready for the interview, but also I'm excited because it's an opportunity for people who have been working hard for all their lives to come together for something they really believe in, to really get results. Because a lot of times you ask for something, you don't get it, but if you put out a strike, most times you're more likely to get what you're asking for.
And those are workers striking for better wages, workers with United Auto Workers who are employed by General Motors. Now, you mentioned earlier the issue of part-time workers. That is also part of their demands, right? The UAW is demanding, among things like better wages, better job security for part-time workers?
Well, what they're demanding is that right now there's so many temporary workers that are employed in the plant, people that are starting at $14 an hour with no health care, that aren't members of the union. And increasingly you're seeing more and more of the work, you know, being done by a union worker than being done by a temp worker. So it's a big issue there.
And what do you think the sense is among the public for as they watch these workers go on strike? We are seeing more and more labor unions striking. We're seeing more and more people, even those who are non-union, doing one-day walkouts. It seems as though this is a sort of resurgence, or we're in a moment where there's a labor resurgence. How is it being met by members of the public where you are reporting?
Well, you know, in the Rust Belt where we're at and where I live, the feeling is very supportive. Everybody, you know, these are pro-union areas. These have always been strongholds of unions. You know, the feeling is very supportive. Right now, unions are at an all-time high in approval rating at 64%, according to Gallup. That's the highest they've been since 1947. Unions are gradually gaining members, and there's a lot of support out there.
What has, as far as you know, General Motors' response been? Talks are ongoing, and for 40 to 50,000 workers to be on strike is not going to be helping the company's bottom line.
Well, you know, it's a question of how long can the company take it. Obviously, the company just made things increase the tension by cutting off health insurance for people out on strike. So the company is trying to end this strike. Obviously, they don't want it. So we'll see what happens.
And I'm wondering if you can give me a sense of what the feeling was like among police who are out as workers were striking. One of the reports you did, you spoke with law enforcement officers who commented to you about the striking workers?
Well, we got an interaction where some striking workers were blocking a union buster from leaving the plant, and the police showed up, and one of the cops you know, made a joke about his dad working there, and he didn't want them to get bad publicity. And it's pretty funny. You should watch it.
We'll play a short clip of that now. Here is, I mean, unfortunately, the audio is not very loud, but here's a short clip of this interaction with one police officer commenting.
A bunch of union guys that are, you know, acting a fool. It's not going to do anything to help. All right, everyone, the more people we have on your side, yes, the better off you guys are, right? My old man works here too. So,
and that is one of the reports that my guest Mike Elk has been doing from the United Auto Workers picket lines. How significant is this particular strike nationally? As a labor reporter, you know, we're seeing Kaiser workers may go on strike in October. That would be something like 80,000 workers. But this GM strike is on the same order with 40 to 50,000 workers. Is this the largest strike of the year, if not over several years?
This is the largest strike since 2007. It's a huge strike, 49,000 workers. You know, obviously, we've seen a big strike wave, a lot of support for teachers' unions. A strike here could really give unions a lot more confidence, as the teachers' unions did gain confidence, and really put pressure on the company. You know, obviously, this is going to have a big effect on the UAW. The UAW has been marred in a series of corruption scandals that has seen five top UAW officials indicted for accepting bribes. So the UAW is trying to say, hey, we're a new union. This corruption scandal has really hurt them. They recently lost a union vote in Chattanooga by only 29 votes at Volkswagen. And a lot of people questioned that I interviewed the role of the corruption scandal. So obviously this could really help revive that union. Also, this is going to be a big political issue. I mean, it'd be interesting to see where Trump comes down on this, as I said earlier.
Right. So the UAW president was named initially as a co-conspirator in a corruption probe, but then he was unnamed, which is interesting. This particular issue in point is something that Republicans have seized on, although Trump seems to be trying to toe the line more carefully because he wants to convince workers he's on their side. But other Republicans, it seems, are using this issue of the corruption probe to slam unions and to slam the UAW, right?
Right. You know, it's been an issue that's hurt the UAW. So obviously, this can be used by the union to go out to workers and say, hey, we've changed and we're fighting now. So it's a big, huge strike. And I really appreciate having me on. I'm sorry I have to run, but thanks again. I really appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Mike Elk is my guest. He is a labor reporter for paydayreport.com. And let's actually go out with a conversation. We'll play actually two more videos that Mike did for Payday Report. One is a conversation with UAW Local 1097 President Dan Maloney.
So it's been a long time coming. We know that we have to take this fight on. It's short-term pain for long-term gain, and they've abused the workers and General Motors for long enough, the corporation, and we drew the line in the sand. So our saying, one day longer, one day stronger. We'll be holding out till we win the day.
Yeah, and what's the mood been like, you know, in the community?
Well, you know, they've been very, very supportive of the UAW. We have all our friends in labor, of course, but some of the local merchants have been reaching out to us. And like I said, the Straight Home Inn right down the street, they opened up their parking lot bathroom facilities for us. The police, Locust Club Union, said we can park our cars there, Local 13 Union Hall.
And that is Mike Elk, labor reporter with paydayreport.com, speaking with Dan Maloney, president of United Auto Workers Local 1097. We'll go out with a report that Mike did, speaking with a man named Bishop Herman Daly, about how the UAW has helped him.
75 years of age, on Genesee Street, still feeding the hungry, still clothing the people, and the UAW helped me every year to do that. That's why I'm out here.
How'd they help you when you came back? How'd they help you with the job here?
They had
a veterans hiring there.
Pardon me?
They were trying to hire veterans.
Yeah, when I came home from Vietnam, they gave me a plaque because they appreciate what I was doing. They sent a guy from, what's his name? He was a senator. They had a saying, say, hire a vet. I came out here, I had a brother that works here. And I said, listen, man, I'm tired. I need a job. Going through a divorce, living in a room, paying $16.50 a week for a room. And I came out and I applied. I applied for this job. When I applied for it, they sent me home. I was so angry, I was pissed off, because I figured life had cheated me. I got drafted. I didn't volunteer. I wanted to do what the other guys did. They was going to Canada. When I got to Buffalo, the man told me, said, you have a choice, okay? And the choice was, what he put it, so much money fine, and do so much time in jail. So I told him, I'll silence where to defend this country. I mean, where I'm going? They said, I was dodging the draft. From that point on, when I got back here, I heard about this union by word of mouth. And a guy by the name of Ron Ball. And I came out here, and General Motors hired me on a Monday. And they said, well, when you want to start? I said, start now. They said, you going to work in your dress clothes? I said, sir, I need a job. Listen, I lost everything. What am I going to do?
What year was this?
This was 1972. I'll never forget that day. 1972, they hired me. And when they hired me, I was committed. I came to work every day. I was on time. And I was the EAP coordinator here at General Motors.
EAP?
EAP, Employee Assistance Program. Taking care of family. Yeah, a lot of brothers was like myself, black and white. They were struggling. A lot of Vietnam vets, they were struggling with alcohol and drugs and trying to get jobs and coming to work and missing time. And then I became the chairman of that program. Matter of fact, I institute a lot of language for our employee assistance program. It's a joint program with management too. I can't leave management out of it. They play a very important part in helping us too, because they allow the employees to come out in the community to do volunteer work. And that's wonderful. That's why it takes all of us, management and the union. It's a joint program. We should be working jointly together in this community to help your brother and your sister get on their feet. We're not asking for $1 million. I just want to be happy, take care of my family. That's all I want. But these politicians, they play games, and I know they play games. But we have to learn how to work together and trust one another. This is how we overcome this obstacle. They hired me. So management and the union come together every year and send people out to 447 Genesee Street, repair the building, cut grass, help me feed the hungry, clothes are needed, we give clothing, food, the whole 9 years. That's how we overcome.
And that's the voice of a man named Bishop Daly Herman, speaking with my guest Mike Elk, senior labor reporter for paydayreport.com. Special thanks to Mike for sharing his videos with us. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter, subscribe to our video channel on Vimeo, and find our audio podcast on iTunes and now Spotify.